left off last week talking about the possibility of violating the malacha of ribon, kibos, of washing clothes, without using water, without using a liquid altogether. So we saw there seems to be a contradiction in the halacha. Rashi presents in the evidence of the Shabbos that when the Gemara says the menar talisa was chayav, a person just merely shakes out his garment, so that could be a potential malacha deraisa. Rashi learns that he's simply shaking out the garment from dust. He's not even not applying any liquid whatsoever. There's no water, there's nothing, just dust shaking off, brushing off the dust of the suit could potentially be malacha deraisa. Now we toned it down a little bit. It's only a malacha deraisa the person's really machbid on it. It's a dark suit. It's something that really bothers him. We said it was manazeh. Usually that does fall into that category of Rashi, the brushing of hats, the brushing of suits, and things like that. From dust would be a serious problem according to Rashi. So according to this Rashi, it would appear that there is a concept of kivos without any liquids whatsoever, even a level deraisa. And the problem is that Rashi himself writes, and the Gemara also in Masechta Shabbos, the Gemara talks about a person has a stain on his clothing, so he's not allowed to remove the stain by just scraping it off externally. What he can do is he can go from the back and kind of, you know, push it off and shake it off and somehow get off the dirt using a little bit of an abnormal manner. Why is that permissible? So Rashi in the spot says the reason why that's okay is because there's no real malacha deraisa involved there anyway, because there's no liquid. So that's a problem. So the Kivega throws his hands up and says, he doesn't understand the answer. Rashi in one place says you can have kibbutz deraisa without a liquid, and one place Rashi says you can't have it without a liquid. So what's the answer to that contradiction? So the Mishnah Berurah suggests that maybe the answer is that not all cleaning is the same, that sometimes cleaning can be accomplished even in a Torah without any liquid whatsoever. If that's the Daka Bekach, that's the Derech Bekach, to clean in that way. This is the Derech Bekach is, if your hat dropped on the floor, you got some dust on your hat, so most people don't take the hat and throw it into the washing machine. So you just take a hat brush and just brush off the dirt, brush off the dust. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's not a deep, dark secret. It all depends what the Derech Kibbutz is. So when you have something which is the derech kibbutz is to just brush it off such as dirt, and you really accomplish something, it's not going to clean, the pressure, that looks better. So then that would be a violation of that derech kibbutz. Whereas if it's a stain, so the normal way to remove a stain is to put water. So the guy who's not putting water on the stain and is going round about and doing it without the water, so for him, that's not going to allow derech kibbutz. So for that would have to be butter. If it's done, again, in a double roundabout way, it's done from behind the bed, yet rather than on the bed itself, so there would be no chashash whatsoever of doing that. Even though that's the din that appears in Shulchan Aruch, according to that Gemara, that one is allowed to play with the stain if you're doing it from the back, so it's not so poshut what the parameters of that are exactly. It's not very efficient to do it altogether, number one, so then it's kind of hard to get the job done properly. And even when it's quote-unquote mutter, it may still be problematic for another reason. The Rishon quote from one of the Baratos from Rabbeinu Peretz, who says that even if you're clear in terms of kibbutz, sometimes removing a stain may be another problem, a totally different area of halacha, different malacha. Malacha that we spoke about earlier, and that's the malacha of tochet, of grinding. Rabbeinu Peretz says that when the Gemara permits the removing of a stain without a liquid, if you're doing it kelyachayad, so the parent says that's only mutter if it's still liquidy, still a moist kind of a stain. So if the stain is caked on and it's ready dried up, that's a whole other problem, because any shape or form you can remove that stain, you're inevitably going to be crumbling up the sticky pieces of dirt now, and that's going to be a potential malacha of tochein. So that's a big question. Is that really tochein? Does that meet the criteria of tochein? So a lot of acharonim, for different reasons, were not so convinced that that's tochein altogether. So the Taz suggests that maybe other Rishonim would disagree with the Shomei Peretz as part of what we spoke about in terms of another Malacha. Each Malacha is now interacting with one another. So we spoke way, way back about the Malacha of Dosh. The real Malacha of Dosh we spoke about a couple of months ago in terms of milking cows and squeezing, things like that. But then it came back to us in terms of last week, in terms of squeezing garments. Because Rabbeinu Tam said that sometimes squeezing the garment may be more of a violation of dosh than it is a violation of malabin. But in the malach of dosh, so we saw that there was a theme that at least some Rishonim had called cholev le'ibud. That if you're cholev, if you milk a cow and you immediately discard the milk, we spoke about if a woman has to extract milk and she can't use the milk for the baby, it has to be discarded right away. We spoke about that. We spoke about a person who squeezes out juice and the juices go right into the garbage. So there was a whole underlying theory that some Rishonim had. That dosh l'ibud, tzochet l'ibud, is not called a malacha. That's just that the very definition of the malacha is not The whole tzuris of halacha requires that you do it with sorech what you're going to be using. We've certainly seen this idea many, many times in the Shabbos, that sorech, the need, the person's agenda, sometimes is almost tangential to the malacha, and sometimes defines the very essence of the malacha. Sometimes it's tangential to carrying. So the did is that if you carry something you don't really need, you did violate a malacha v'otzah, but not deraisa, because that's a malacha shayatich legufa. So the malacha has to be similar, the goal, the agenda has to be similar to the agenda of the Mishkan. But there, it's not pshat that you didn't do malacha. I did a malacha z'otzah, it's just not a deraisa because of a quirk, because I fell short in terms of being a malacha shayatich legufa. Sometimes, if you're not doing it with tzorech, so they're not doing it with tzorech, undermines the very essence of the malacha. It's not even called the shem malacha altogether. How would you know which malachas are which? That's already much, much trickier. So Tosfos tries to put together a few malachas that maybe the tzorech is such an integral part of the malacha that its absence will undermine the very essence of the malacha. So by dosh, such a theory exists. And again, there are Rishonim who say that idea, and sometimes rely on that by cows and nursing women. Sometimes that idea does make its surface halacha. So the Taz suggests that maybe the same is true when it comes to malachas tochen. But the very essence of the malach of tochen is I'm grinding up items to use. I'm grinding up a stain to that the pieces of the gook of the stain end up under the floor, under the garbage can. So what kind of tochen is that? That's not a shem tochen altogether. It's not a tochen that's a malach of tochen. It's better than a tochen shem tochen. It's not a malach of tochen altogether. That's the Taz's first suggestion. Again, it's very, very hard to make these judgment calls because they're not sure which malachas this do apply, don't apply. Some gemaras seem to apply to some malachas and don't apply to other malachas. So Rabbeinu Peretz obviously didn't think this kula should apply here. The Taz is suggesting maybe it should. The Eglei Tal has another curveball to why maybe this whole idea of tochein by removing stains is not correct. It's based on something else we spoke about back in tochein. Remember way, way back, even before the summer. We left off in Bishul this past summer, so tochein was before Bishul. But we quoted, there was a big machlekes, and we showed him, if a person takes a cucumber and cuts a cucumber into little pieces, is that malachas tochen? Is that even on the radar screen of malachas tochen? So the Gemara talks about cutting up some item. The problem is it's not clear what that item is. The Gemara in Shabbos in the seventh verse says, you take a certain item and you cut it into little pieces, that's malachas tochen. So there was a machlekes, and we showed him, what is that item? So Tosfos and Rambam, then we showed him, say, it's talking about vegetables. So you cut up a vegetable, chot chaseyer, dach dach, could be potentially chanish and tochen. And the Rosh says he can't believe it. The Rosh says that's not tochen. He says that's cutting a vegetable into small pieces. That's not called tochen. Tochen doesn't apply to foods that are edible already. Tochen doesn't apply to your cucumbers, to your tomatoes, to your cutting up of items you can eat anyway. That's not tochen. The Gemara is talking about a piece of wood. That a person wants to use the wood in order to, he wants to use the sawdust. He's cutting that up into little pieces to use the tiny, tiny pieces of wood, slivers of wood. That's called tochen. But tochen and ochlin, that concept doesn't even exist. So that was a big machlokes in Rishonim. Is that even in the ballpark of Lachas Tochen? So there was some Rishonim who almost had a little bit of a compromise. The Rambam's Lashon is that a chotech is a yerech hadei levashlo. The person cuts up a vegetable in order to cook it subsequently. It's a big, big, big vegetable, so you can't cook it the way it is. You want to cut it into little pieces and then cook it up. So that's chayav. What does the Rambam say, hadei levashlo? What does that make a difference? So that's what the Rambam seems to be telling us, that Tochen is one of those malachas that shouldn't be looked at in a vacuum. Some malachas are just judged on their own merits, and other malachas are part of a process. We spoke about this also in the past. So the malach of tochen is part of a process. Namely, if I'm doing it as part of the process of preparing food to eat, in order to cook the food, to prepare the food, that's called a malacha. If I'm just taking a cucumber and just cutting it into little pieces, that's called eating my food. That's derachim b'kach, that's not derach malacha. But if I take a clay, and I take a potato, I take a food that wouldn't be eaten raw, and I cut it up in order to enable me to cook it, so that becomes the malach of tochen. So that's your take on malach of tochen. Not everyone agrees to that at all. The halacha we're machmir is we try not to cut up our little vegetables into salads. We only do it somewhat la'achila. Even then, we're not even 100% sure about. But there are rishonim who say that the tzura malach of tochen is never going to be violated unless it's part of a greater preparation process. If that's the case, it says Dave Letal, what great preparation are you doing with the dirt on your shirt? He said, you're just simply removing the dirt in the shirt. You're not prepared to eat, hopefully not get a plan of eating your shirt. So that has nothing to do with derech achir. It has nothing to do with part of a process of anything. That's just that's taking a big piece and cutting it into little pieces. That's not tochen. That's b'chlal not tzuras tochen. Again, that's also a chiddush. It's also not so posh that's true. In Megavi tochen itself, we're not even sure that that's true. So the Eglei Tal throws in another curveball. He says that after all, this whole shayla of Rabbeinu Peretz cannot be a deraisa. There's no way anyone can say it's a deraisa. It's at least a malach shayatzrich legufa. So the person is not interested in the tochen. He's not interested in using the crumpled pieces of dirt. So to say that it's tochei d'oraisa is absurd. So it's only a shaila d'rabbanan anyway. Some of the d'rabbanan, you can rely on the Taz, you can rely on my svar, different svaras. That's why some of the later achorim are not so excited, not so worried about this chumrah. Although it appears in Rishonim, it's quoted in the halacha by Rishonim, this idea of being careful. Anytime you try to crumble away and stay, you have to always raise the red flag of tochei. So the later achorim are not as concerned about this. Again, it's not that relevant for us. My general take on these kibbutz shalos on Shabbos, anytime there's any stain in any shape or form, just leave it if you have it. Baruch Hashem, we have plenty of clothing. You put on a middle suit, you put another shirt, you put another tie, you figure out an eitzah, what to do. I don't think a person should start playing around with stains on Shabbos. It gets very, very complicated. Again, putting on any water, any cleanser, anything whatsoever is a very, very serious problem. That's absolutely out of the question. And even stains that, without using any water, if you're going to do it from the back, it's not going to do a good job. It's going to be dirty anyway, so it's going to be filthy anyway. So my honeymoon. It's a person gets all nervous. He has only one suit. He's traveling. He has one suit. It's a bizarre to cover Shabbos. It said in the name of the Chassam Sofer that he said that the greatest cover of Shabbos is if your clothing are dirty and you can't clean them on Shabbos. That's a great cover of Shabbos. Doesn't mean you walk around schlep. I think I went through Machlok for the Chassam Sofer. He puts on a dirty suit before Shabbos. Actually, you have clean clothes when Shabbos starts and hope for the best. And if you have a little kid at home, so the post came right, you should try to, if at all possible, try to protect yourself to the best way you can to avoid any of these kinds of kibbutz shaylos. Chacham and Barosha, but again, with all the precautions, it doesn't always work. We continue now back to kibbutz proper. So again, with liquids, that's clearly out of the question. We mentioned last week that schitas begodim is a huge problem, that to squeeze out the ring out of garment is a very serious problem. It's either a problem of schita mishum maliba mishum kibbutz, as in laundering. Sometimes it may be a problem of schita mishum dosh. We spoke a little bit about Rabbi Tam this week. We spoke about when you want to squeeze something out to extract the juice, so to speak, you want to squeeze out your wipes, maybe, according to the baby wipes, according to the machmirim. Different kinds of the sponges we spoke about, the brushes, all those kinds of things. Potential issues of schita. But in addition to the act of schita's begotten per se, Chazal made a gezeira, Chazal decreed that one has to be very, very careful even how one handles wet clothing, because if you're handling very, very wet clothing, you will very likely come to squeeze. So Chazal made a gezeira against even handling wet clothing. Where did Chazal have the gezeira? It's not explicit in the Gemara. What the Gemara appears in the following, to the end of Masechta Shabbos, a few of you guys got about 5 months or so, 4 or 5 months in this one, to the end of Masechta Shabbos. So the Gemara discusses about carrying a towel on Shabbos. Now, how did one person carry a towel? Well, in the olden days, he may have been taking a bath on Shabbos. We spoke about that also. In the Torah, the water is heated up before Shabbos. You can even sit in the hot tub on Shabbos. But the Rabbanan, that's long been removed. You're not allowed to do that with the Rabbanan. But still, there are ways for a person to potentially using a towel. The Ikra Din, you're allowed to go into cold water on Shabbos. We have a minute, we try to avoid that. One of the reasons why that minute developed was because of the towel problem. So there are a person who stopped washing his hands, whatever, not in his face, but whatever it is. So people are using towels, and sometimes the towel could get wet. So the Gemara quotes of the Mishnah quotes of the Chalikas Atarayim, are you allowed to carry a wet towel on Shabbos? So one time it says, no. You're not allowed to carry it. The towel is very, very wet. You're not allowed to carry it because if you're going to carry it, you inevitably are going to end up squeezing it out. And the other Tana says, no, it's not a problem. So the Poskim write, the Tana Chalekos is only about towels because there's reason to say that a towel, you don't really care if the towel's wet because towels get wet. You don't care if the towel's wet. So Lav Dafka is going to be tremendous. It's hard to squeeze out the towel. But it would be a shirt. It would be a pair of pants. It would be a suit. Would be something that people don't want to be so wet, you would come to squeeze it out. Everybody would agree that that's a problem. So that's how we passed in the halacha. That although the Tanoim were finding it out about towels, that was only towels, was maybe an exception to the rule of the Gezeira, but the basic Gezeira was in place, that other kinds of wet things, one is not allowed to even touch on Shabbos. How wet is wet? Supposed to say a little damp is not wet. It has to be called tofech amnazlatfiyah. It has to be really, really wet. Wet enough that when you touch it, your hands get drenched and they can get something else wet. And it's really, really soaking. Mamish Ram is soaking through and through. So that would pose a problem. You're not supposed to move that gezeira otu, you may come to squeeze it. Chazal apparently lifted that gezeira for the person who has nothing else to wear. The Gemara talks about if a guy's walking in the street and gets caught in the downpour. So now his clothes are soaking wet. So he's not mechuyev to, when he gets home, just to get dressed up, stop touching his begadim. So the gezeira was that the person shouldn't lechatchila go ahead and touch something that's wet if he has nothing else to wear. So the many poskim write that even though he's not wearing the clothes now, he wakes up Shabbos morning, all his clothes are soaking, so then we don't want him to walk around with nothing, so he's allowed to put on clothing, and Sabah Chazal lifted that gezeira. But except under very, very extenuating circumstances, so one would not be permitted to not only wear the clothing that's wet, but one would not be allowed to touched the move the clothing around, gezeira onto shechitas begadim. So the Mishnah Berurah raises an interesting question, which becomes very relevant for us in terms of wet the garments on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Mishnah Berurah says that, what if a garment was wet when Shabbos began, and now it's subsequently dry? So this runs into a problem of muktzah. And even though technically once a garment dries, so it's no gezeira anymore, you have to squeeze it, it's dry. But the problem was, it was off limits when Shabbos began. So we have a rule in Uchus Muktzah that if something is off limits when Shabbos starts, it's called Migo Diskatzala Ben Ashmashos, Diskatzala Kuliyoma. Once something is Muktzah when Shabbos begins during the period of Ben Ashmashos, then it remains, it retains its Muktzah status for the duration of Shabbos, even though the original reason why it became Muktzah in the first place is no longer true. That's the principle of Migo Diskatzoy. There's a lot of lumdus as to why that should be so. Shef is very fond of saying that that din of Migo Diskatzoy may be a throwback. There was a machlokes in the Shonim as to what's the mechayim of Shabbos. What creates the Yisra Malach and Shabbos? Is the beginning of Shabbos, like the sunsets, and then Shabbos says, whatever the beginning of Shabbos is, that creates the Yisra for the next 24 hours? Or no, Shabbos is an ongoing Yisra. Every second of Shabbos is a new Yisra. So we spoke about this, about the guy who walks, probably not too relevant this moment, but the person who's standing in the coast of China and walking off the coast, on and off, off the coast, so whether he walks in and out of Shabbos, because the Chazir Shishit is that the dateline hugs the coast of China. So hugs the coast of Australia. So the person goes in and out, in and out, in and out. Does that concept make any sense on Shabbos? That's the Machlokes of Rishonim. The Shabbos start at the beginning and then it lasts for 24 hours, or it's an ongoing conditions of Shabbos. A fascinating halacha shafim discussion. So the Meshechta said that Migo Diskatzoy somehow is related to that, the concept. But whatever, whether it is related or not related, the Maisa that didn't exist, called Migo Diskatzoy, once something is Mukta for Ben Ashmashos, it remains Mukta for the duration of Shabbos, even though the original reason is no longer relevant. The Mishnah Berurah puts two and two together, and he says, when you have a very, very wet, drenched garment when Shabbos begins, so Migo Diskatzoy, it's off limits right now, so it remains off limits even though it dries out, even though it dries out by itself, and now the original reason doesn't apply, you still can't use that garment in connection with Shabbos because of Migo Diskatzoy. That's the Chiddush that the Mishnah Berurah has.
Is that concept, is it object or subjective? Because I've worn a shirt, not, I don't do it every Tuesday, but I've worn a shirt literally out of the washing machine. It's not a lot of fun. I wouldn't wear a suit that's drenched.
But if it's so fair, if it's wet enough that touching it, your hands would get wet enough to make something else wet, if that's true, so then the gezeira applies. That's
called, so it's object.
I think so, yeah, that's called wet enough. That's the Mishnah Berurah's Chiddush. So there are many poskim who question this Chiddush. The Shmishabs, because it quotes from Shlomo Zalman, who wasn't so sure about this Chiddush, about this Chumrus Mishnah Berurah for the following reason. The principle of Migo Diskatzoy, to say something is Muktzah, Muktzah usually means when something is off limits for everybody. Let's say I have a situation where I personally can't use something, but other people in this situation can use it. So that's not considered to be a Muktzah. Let's say, for example, food in Yom Kippur. Food in Yom Kippur is not Muktzah. You know, I can't eat the food, but the kid can eat the food, the Chol can eat the food. Well, you have this in other things, let's say you have animal food. So if you have food that some people have these animals, and other people don't have these animals. So if you live in a location where these animals are prevalent, so then the food is not considered to be muktzah. For anyone in those places, if, let's say, everyone in this area, so when nobody has this particular animal, so the post would discuss about if you have elephant food. So the Gemara talks about if you have a certain kind of food that's edible for elephants. So if you have a pet elephant, so then that food is not the muktzah. If you don't have a pet elephant, but your neighbor has a pet elephant, so that would also not be muktzah. But if nobody has pet elephants around here, that's a question. With an elephant in the zoo, I live in the Bronx, so the elephant in the Bronx Zoo, would that count as being... that's kind of hard stretch a little bit. And the idea is that my neighbor, in theory, may yes be the one who feeds elephants. The Bronx was not successful. Do not feed the elephants. He's not going to call me to feed the elephants. So it's kind of hard to defend that kula. But whatever it is. So there's a din in Uchus Muktzah that it doesn't depend exactly on you. That if it's within reason that other people could use it, so that's also not considered to be muktzah. So that's what the Shmir Shabbos raises the question. He says, wait a second, there are situations when you are allowed to wear wet clothing. The din is, if you have nothing else to wear, your only suit is drenched, your only shirt is soaking wet, you're allowed to wear it. And Chazal lifted that gezeira for the person who never has nothing else to wear. So it's within reason to say that this shirt is still royal lekach to be worn. It is royal lekach to be carried in Shabbos. You right now, when the circumstances around you, you are not allowed to move the shirt. But to say that the shirt is mutzah, it's a kozma that it's wet, so the gezeira applies to you, even though somebody else may it doesn't apply to. But to invoke the category of mutzah, that's a little bit more of a stretch, because maybe it's not called mutzah, since there is a realistic way of actually you personally even wearing the shirt. So once it dries out, then the whole gezeira doesn't apply, then the mutzah doesn't kick it in. So it's a little bit of a tzachiyun on that psach of the Mishnah Berurah. So I've told the story over in the past. I had a bunch of paskin de shayla. It was a very heart wrenching psach for me to give. Not a terrible way, just didn't know it bothered me to have to give this psach. But I many years ago, when I was learning Kem Yavnes, so they used to send some of the older boys to the army bases for Shabbos to spend some time with some of the Tamidim who were in Hezer at the time. So when I was it was my turn to go, so they dafka asked me to go. Usually they used to have to send a few boys along. They always had to make sure to send the Valkyrie along because they loved dafka any of the guys who were in the army had time to prepare the landing. So they always send someone to land. And after a bit it was Pashas Matas Masay, and they were looking around for a Valkyrie, so I volunteered to go that week. I remember sitting in the back of a jeep driving down to about an hour and a half south of Be'er Sheva. And some guy was driving us. I remember sitting in the back of the tikkun, trying to put the final touches on Pashas Matas Masay. And then I had the wonderful opportunity to lane it twice, because after I laned it for the regular minyan in the army, then all the guys were at Shmirah, so they had their second minyan an hour later. So they asked me if I wouldn't mind just quickly laning Matas Masay again. So no problem. Once you do it once, it's not a big deal to do it a second time. Okay. So that particular Shabbos, so when I remember when we arrived on Friday afternoon, so the boys were finishing up the drills right before Shabbos, about 100 guys lining up for showers. I'll never forget how one of the boys said to me, they want to ask me a couple of shaylos. They said, listen, I'm not asking a shaylos about taking a shower on Shabbos. I just want you to tell me, how do I do it with the least possible malachas? That was his word. He said, I haven't showered since last Sunday. That was his lashon was. And there were 100 guys for like one shower, and it was like 5 minutes before Rosh Chodesh. So I don't think a cold shower with liquid soap. The minute of not getting showered cold, it's a muslo shchicha, was not instituted under the sin. Arba dvar patru b'machaneh, the Mishnah says in the end of the book, Arabians are cool as they get for the soldiers. Anyway, back to the story. So one of the fellows asked me the following, and he only had one pair of tzitzis, and it hadn't been washed in a while, and he just had to throw it into the water. He threw it into a tub of water or something on late Friday afternoon, and it was drenched when Shabbos began. He wanted to know if he's going to leave it out to dry, can he wear it on Shabbos morning when it dries out? So I think I passed it incorrectly on that. So I told him no. I quoted the Mishnah Berurah to them. I think I was 22. My third Gilgal in Kiryat Yavne. So I said, I quoted him this Mishnah Berurah. I said, the Mishnah Berurah says that if the garments were soaking wet when Shabbos began, so they remain muktzah. So you don't know, tzitzis, you know, the end of the world. So you can't violate muktzah, you don't have to fill the bits of tzitzis. So I said to him, it's better not to wear tzitzis on Shabbos. Tzitzis are considered to be muktzah. So then afterwards, I rethought that a little bit. First of all, Shlomo Zalman was noitel hakol of the shayla, but okay, that's one issue. But the other issue is this called only having one garment? So I'm not sure about that. So the poskim said that if you only have one garment, so then Chazal lifted that issue. So the question is, that called not having one? I understand Chazal lifted the issue, the guy doesn't have a pair of pants. I understand Chazal lifted the issue, the guy doesn't have a shirt. But between you and me, and don't misquote me, don't. This is no Purim quote. Who cares if you're not wearing tzitzis? What's the difference between wearing tzitzis or not? You're not a chuyf to wear tzitzis. If you don't have a bag, you're not a you don't wear tzitzis. So Chazal lifted this issue for the guy to put on a special pair of tzitzis. No, I'm not sure. Fake. Maybe if Shlomo Zalman's right, that's not looked altogether. And maybe this is called having only one garment. I don't know, I'm not sure what the answer was. I mean, I didn't realize all that like 10 years later. But at the time, I told him that he shouldn't wear his tzitzis. Better not to wear tzitzis than to risk violating any sort of look. So.
Would the same thing apply? Let's say your coat gets soaked, right? So you come home, and in theory, so you don't have any other coats
right.
around.
But right, you can wear
your suit. So can you put that coat on then? Because you can go outside and get your suit dirty.
No, I don't think so. If you can't, wearing a coat is more important, so to speak, than wearing a tzitzis. Wearing a coat is a normal.
So you look at the
construction yeah,
of the baggage.
I think that's normal.
That
yeah.
Another baggage.
I think so. I think that's normal. Yeah. No, coat's got to be really, really. I mean, talking about like seriously, literally soaking under a So again, so the starting point is that one can't wash their clothing, and the starting point is one can't squeeze their clothing, and all of the above, and then we have Gzeiros d'Rabbanan, Gzeiros, you make up the squeeze, all of this. And then Chazal threw a whole nother curveball issur into this, and that's the potential problem as follows. Let's say a person was washing their clothing, BBL, yeah, the clothing was all washed. Or let's say it became wet, he didn't wash his clothing, he got soaked on a Shabbos, he fell into a lake on Shabbos, he got caught in a downpour on Shabbos. So he's got very, very wet clothing. Now he wants to go ahead and he wants to hang up his clothing to dry. So what should the din be? A person wants to dry out their clothing on Shabbos. So is there any problem whatsoever? He's taking the clothing off. So he's allowed to take them off, and now he wants to put it up in a place to dry. Should that be a problem or not? So there's a whole general issues of drying clothing, even before we get to the Shabbos part. Even the person who leaves stuff to put stuff into the dryer on Friday afternoon could run into a problem. What we mentioned before, we said that one has to be careful about this. If the person is drying, let's say the person is throwing stuff in the dryer late in the afternoon on Friday, you have to make sure that the clothes are dry enough when Shabbos starts. They shouldn't be soaking wet, then you can be part of this muktzah problem. If I want to wear these clothing, let's say tomorrow, I have to make sure that they're totally dry. And I'm not supposed to leave that dry going in the showers. We spoke about that in the past, mashmir kol, etc. So you have to be careful, even with regular drying on late Friday afternoon. But let's say a person wants to do things in the old Star Wars, to hang something out on the line. So he's got his soaking clothes Friday afternoon, he wants to put it out to dry. So the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Why not? What's wrong? What's the issue of putting out something to dry on Shabbos? So the Mishnah says there's a chashash in Marisayan. And we're afraid that the person who's going to walk by and see you hanging up your clothing on Shabbos in the line, and we think you must have washed your clothing an hour ago. You washed your clothing, you violated the Melach Derais of Liban, the Kibbutz. So therefore, Midir Rabbanan, you're not allowed to be Shelchan Bifnei Am. You're not allowed to hang them up to dry in public area, that's what the Mishnah says. Because if people are going to see it, that's going to be a violation of Marisai. What is not included in this is, let's say a person hung up their garments before Shabbos, they're not mechuyav to take them down. There's no such requirement. Chazal, in theory, it's the same reason, same fear, but that was never made by Chazal. You walk by and you see a guy whose clothing is there from Friday, so we don't assume that you're going to make any mistake. If you see a guy hanging up his clothing on Shabbos, that's going to be the problem. So that's a fair issue in
But is the key that it's in a public place?
We're going to get to the part, what if it's private? We'll talk about it in a second. So the original statement in the Mishnah is that Eino Shalcha B'fnei Ami, not allowed to hang him up in a place where people are going to see. That's what it says in the Mishnah. But again, the din is that the issur is to hang it up. If it was there from beforehand, that's not considered to be a problem. This is in stark contrast to the big Machmira, back in the Lake Como. That's called, I think, Lakewood, Pennsylvania. It's called Lake Como, Pennsylvania. This was a big Machlekes that took place in camp and back in Moshe Kolel days. When those who remember Moshe Kolel, where do guys hang up all the wet stuff during the week? On the volleyball net, right? No?
On the porch.
No, what?
Porch.
On the porch. They do it on the porch. It used to be on the volleyball net. They used to be, except for the week of the 9 days, it was doing anything on the volleyball net. So they would hang up the clothing on the thing or on the porch. So I don't think she's around. I don't even know if she's alive anymore. Her name was Faith. You know, Faith, from the long gone. She was one of the cleaning ladies from the area, from one of the locals who would clean up the bunks in Morashah. So one Friday she came screaming at me. I was a counselor. She came screaming at me, saying to me, "You boys don't know anything about the Sabbath." She said, "It's a disgrace that the guy's dirty, the guy's wet underwear and undershirts and socks are hanging out here on the Sabbath. Why don't you take your stuff in? It doesn't look proper for the Sabbath." So she was 100% right. That didn't look right. It didn't look right for Tuesday either. It didn't look right for Shabbos. That's 100% true. But she was mechaving to the Issa of the Rabbanon of Marisai, and that she was not right about. That mid the Rabbanon, that Issa doesn't apply as long as it was put on from before Shabbos began. We had a lot of chumras in camp. Faith had her husband, there was Mary. Mary had her other cheshbon. Mary had his, don't tell us about Faith, that's the day before Purim, I can tell you about Mary. Also, Mary had a famous discussion, one of the highlight discussions to go down Baruch Shekol history, that she had Rabbi Simon one time. That she saw Rabbi Simon checking the Eruv, and she went up to him and she said, "Rabbi, what exactly are you doing?" So Rabbi Simon, in his, you know, very personality, creative personality, said to her, he started explaining to her that on the Sabbath we're not allowed to carry outdoors, we're only allowed to carry indoors. So what we're doing here is we're making outdoors into indoors. That was the description. There's not a bad description, so you know. If you're telling somebody who lives in Lake Como, Pennsylvania, you want to describe them what an air is, that's a pretty good description. So we're making the outdoors into the indoors. So a week later she comes back and she says, "Rabbi, I've been thinking a lot about what you said, and that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard." So she was machmer for those shittas to say that you can't make an error because it's Asi Rav Vat Mechitzta. She was questioned for Route 247, was Mishus Rav, and that's the deal here. It's a lot of interesting things. Back to our story though. So the bottom line is that with the Rabbana, and the Mishnah says you're not allowed to hang up the stuff, Kineged Am, but you are allowed to be Shetech, you are allowed to hang it up privately. That's what says the Mishnah. Then the Gemara says, "Wait a second, I don't want to agree to that." That there are other Tanaim who say no, that Kol Mash Asu Chachav Meimaris Ayin Afil B'Chad B'Chadar Masa, that if Chazal prohibited to hang things up in public, then by extension you cannot hang it up in private either, because there's a general rule of Marsayim, whatever is also Mishum Marsayim is also even if the Marsayim family doesn't apply, even if it's Pachad Bechilab, even the privacy of one's own home. So the Gemara says, Tamachlekes HaTanon. So that Machlekes now spans way past the Shalom. This touches on Kol Tarkula. The general question, there are many, many things that also Mishum Marsayim. Things that are also Mishum Marsayim only also when the real Marsayim exists. Or do I say no? No. As long as there's no real Marsayim, it's Mutar. So very serious Shas that come up. I want to walk at the McDonald's in the middle of Wyoming. No one's going to see you. A guy walks into McDonald's, comes out with a bag, you know, in the middle of New York. That could be a serious problem on our side. A guy walks into McDonald's in the middle of Wyoming. Is that a problem? Is that included in this? Do we paskin like this Gemara? That's a big shout. And that's a Shem. Next week, we'll pick up just on the non-Shabbos part of the sukkah and then get ourselves right back into the Shabbos.